chapter 16, Romans 16 tonight. Ministry is a difficult task for any believer. Sometimes it can be a very lonely position for the one who knows seeking Christ, while others may be busy doing other things. In the Apostle Paul's day, he encountered many adversaries and naysayers. There were many who were against him, and to him it was a great consolation to have those who were for him and in support of his efforts for Christ in the local churches. There were those who did support him financially, but there were also a number of individuals that their very presence would lift up the very spirit of Paul and encourage him. It is to these people to whom the Apostle Paul's heart was knit, and he loved them. There are many people who come to a church, and they may not engage very much. And we're glad they're here. But a Christian's consistent testimony of service for Christ and involvement in the church endears one's heart to one another as you labor alongside each other. It is those who come to church and get busy serving the Lord who are a tremendous help. Many people of our day and age have a very consumeristic mentality. What can I get out of it? But some and many do not understand that all that goes into making a church work. How much time it takes in the preparation of services. The mindset in many may be, what can the church do for me? To lift a finger and help, sometimes we believe that's the pastor's job. That's a paid staffer's job. That's not my job. But we understand that the church is not a business. It is a spiritual organism, a body. It takes every person doing their responsibility that God has given to them. And many times, you've maybe heard this saying, 90% of the people do 10% of the work, and 10% of the people do 90% of the work, or however, 80, 20, however you've heard that. Now, that's obviously not the case in our church. The truth is, we still have a handful of people doing the work. And I have found in my time in church, and both in the pastor and as a church parishioner attending church, that the people I have been closest to are those to whom I've labored amongst. And this is certainly true in the epistle here of Romans, as Paul is writing and commending. Some people may say that an individual in a church, they're not very friendly. Well, I'd encourage you to get involved and start laboring amongst them, and you'll understand their heart. When you work alongside one another, you get to see the heart of other people. And tonight, as we have here looking at Romans chapter 16, I wanted to give kind of an admonition as well as some teaching on what it takes when a member transfers from one church to another and what it looks like and what it ought to be like. In Romans chapter 16, verse 1, would you follow along with me? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Tonight, as we are the last evening of the Sunday evening for the Hammonds, as I was thinking upon several truths and reflecting on their time here, God's got a message for us. So I'd like to give you God's word tonight on this commendation that Paul gives with respect to Phoebe and what our obligation is with also. Let's go to the Lord and ask for his blessing upon this time. I pray that it would encourage and challenge your heart, and that we would see what God desires for all of us, so that we could be used to the full potential of what God desires for our life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Father, I thank you for your grace. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, as we look at your holy word this evening, Father, I pray that every word that I speak would honor you. God, that you'd be lifted up. God, that you'd be praised. And so, Lord, I commit this evening unto you. I love you. And Father, we thank you for your grace. I'm so thankful for the cross. Thankful for the resurrection. Thank you for the time to enjoy singing your holy the hymns, Lord, that praise your holy name. And so, Lord, we love you and we're depending upon you to do what only you can this evening. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. The principle tonight, as I'd like to put forth, is let your actions for Christ speak for themselves and bring glory to Christ's name while knitting your hearts with other believers. The commendation of transfer that we find here, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. When a believer moves from one area to another, God's desire is that they would unite with another church of like faith and practice to continue using their talents for the Lord. And the best way to transfer to another church is through a letter of commendation. That word commendation here, or commend, is to bring together as friends or in a trusting relationship by commending, recommending, introduce and recommend someone to someone else. Now notice the commendation here that is in the inspired penman of the Apostle Paul gives with respect to Phoebe. I'll give a little bit of commentary here. One David Sorensen writes, he says, the inspired writers begin by recommending to the church at Rome a woman named Phoebe who was a godly woman from Cenchrea, which was a small town adjacent to Corinth, where a New Testament church had been established, perhaps by Paul. And he goes on to say, she is noted as a sister of the servant of the church. The word servant here is diakonia, which is a feminine form, which in the masculine form would also be the term deacon. It's not to imply the office of a deaconess, though. What is implied is that this woman was faithfully serving the Lord through her church there in Cenchrea. And Paul admonishes the church. He says, you better help her out. She's been a tremendous help, and you need to help her. The reference to her being a succorer of many and of myself, it bespeaks about how Phoebe had been more than willing to help others and possibly even Paul himself. She was a dear and blessed laborer here in Cenchrea and a servant, and her heart was to those whom God had placed along her path. If we understand that mere attendance at a church is not pleasing to Christ, that within the body of Christ, the local church, they have a responsibility. People jump up and eagerly, they want to fill in the gaps where the gaps are made. Now, our service for the Lord ought to elicit a commendation from those in the church and the leadership. It ought to be said in the church, that person is faithful, that person helps, and different things, and such is the case of Phoebe. The letter of commendation lets the receiving church know of the background on the person who is joining their assembly. Churches are lacking in solid, hardworking believers. And to have such a commendation written about them, such as Phoebe has here, lets the receiving pastor understand that those requesting membership have a history of faithfulness and service to Christ and His church. Phoebe was one such lady. And Paul elicited the church of Rome to come to her aid in any way needed. He says, you better help this lady. Man, she is a servant. She is a blessing. Church is more than just a means of worship. It is a spiritual family of people who are to love and care for one another. And this love and care comes with some understanding. We find here that there is a commitment of talents. God entrusted to believers with specific gifts, spiritual gifts, to carry out their ministry for Christ. It is a privilege to serve the Lord through His church, of which He is the head. We find that those who pen the scriptures here, the apostles, admonish to help other believers who labored alongside of them, helping the local church. The heart of the apostles knit with the labor, and both persons have a heart for the Lord. I want to look at several things here in this passage of Romans chapter 16. We find other workers are listed here. These are people that are behind the scenes and seemingly insignificant to history, and yet they find their faithfulness in the words of Scripture. Friend, it's not about being great. As I mentioned this morning, God's desire for us is the act of humility. Look with me at verse 6. Greet Mary, verse chapter 16, who bestowed much labor on us. She would help Paul and his companions. Verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me, they would encourage and help Paul. Verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord, a dear brother and a help. Verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved, Urbane, a helper. Urbane and Stachys, and salute Apollos, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, and Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with him. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So here are believers in a number of churches, tremendous, tremendous helps. They're a blessing. They're probably the behind-the-scenes people, much like you would find in churches today. The Apostle Paul mentions, he doesn't say church, but he says churches, it's a plural. Because these are individual entities of which Christ is the head of all of them. Many of these people would never be mentioned. They're just behind-the-scenes people doing what they can for the Lord. A church takes everyone doing something for Christ to make a church in honor for the Lord. I want to show you something else here about whom God admonishes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. He's saying, I want you to help a widow indeed. Help this woman that's been hospitable. She has been a helper. Again, they have labored for Christ, and as a result, the Apostle Paul gives admonition under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. You need to come along and help the brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord. This lady is full of good works. 1 Timothy 5, verses 4 and 5 lets us know of a widow indeed. A widow indeed would be one who maybe her children are gone. Her husband's passed, and she's by herself, and she just needs someone to help her. They say, take her into the number. Church, you're responsible to care for her. She has been a tremendous help. You know what? God is looking just like Phoebe, a behind-the-scenes servant in the ways of Christ, and just a blessing. Doing what they can for Christ. Let's look with me at Luke chapter 8, another individual. Some of my closest friends that I have are those to whom I worked alongside in the ministry. I met in the church. The best man in my wedding was a gentleman I met in church. And it was a huge help and encouragement in my heart and in some of the low days I had. I met him in church. He was like family. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, look with me what it says, which ministered unto him of their substance. They would help Christ financially. They supported him. They were with him. They followed him. There was an appreciation for Christ. After this introduction, we find the parable of the sower. Look with me at chapter 8, verse 15. This is said of the person who receives God's word and does something with it, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It takes time sometimes to really see some fruit. This is a person who appreciates and values Christ, and they're a worker. They get in and they work for Christ. I had a motto back when I was looking for churches and when I was there in training for Bible college and training also for university. I wanted to get into a church and I wanted to work. I didn't want to be a leech. I wanted to give and serve. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Again, we see a commendation to service for one another. Those we are helping are not lazy, for that would infringe on the Scriptures. To discussing to whom a lazy person is like, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, now, this is talking about a person in secular society in general, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If someone's not willing to work, they don't have a job and they're not willing to work, God says you're worse than an infidel. I want to look at another passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 as we just kind of do a topical study on workers in the church that are commended. In every one of these, they are not commended by simply being there. They are commended by the Apostle Paul and commended ultimately by God, and their names have found their way into the Word of God because they have labored for the Lord. Your laboring for the Lord does not necessarily involve a position in front of others. Sometimes it's behind the scenes. As I think and as we reflect on the Hammonds and them going away, they have labored many times behind the scenes, hours behind the scenes, cleaning the church when no one was here, finishing up the flooring. They have been a huge help and encouragement, and there's times I remember coming on a Saturday and maybe a little discouraged. Had an opportunity to just talk. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side with outward fightings. With inward fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. What did God do? God sent Titus to help encourage him. The church of Corinth had been a great respite for the Apostle Paul and the believers there. And they loved Paul and they took care of him. And there's a love for the ministry and those in the ministry. Now, there was a sincere love for those who love God. You think about Tabitha. She would end up passing away and her name was also Dorcas. It tells us of her that she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Again, another woman that was not lazy within the church of God. God expects all believers to be busy in His church, active. Not everyone is capable of doing the same things, but everyone's capable of doing something. Let's look at me at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I keep the tissue companies employed. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I'm not wanting you to be busy in the church just to be busy. He says, I want fruit to remain. A local church is not only to have a love for one another and hard work amongst themselves, but they're to have a love for missions. And the church of Philippi had a love for missions, a love for other churches to be established, and they would help Paul. And church is so much more than just singing hymns and listening to a sermon. The value and the sweetness of church is one's involvement in areas where God guides you, where you're gifted. Many times a church has laborers necessary to do the work. It's just that so few are enlisted in the Lord's service. Here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, he says, But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The church of Philippi sent a gift. There's another story of a gentleman in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Onesiphorus, who was not ashamed of Paul's chains. He refreshed Paul's spirit. It tells us that he often refreshed Paul's spirit. He sought Paul out diligently when he was in Rome. And where did the commendation come from for Onesiphorus? From the Apostle Paul, whom he refreshed while in his imprisoned state. What if people within the church were concerned with each other and desired to be a blessing? For someone who is without the membership and they're missing out on the sweetness of a church family to care for one another, missing out on the blessings God calls believers to help each other, missing out on the commendation of transfer to another church wherein those believers will come to your aid should you need it. Onesiphorus' actions were to serve and not be served. He was not ashamed of Apostle Paul. And his actions resulted in Paul's prayers and rewards for his blessings. We can have a consumeristic mentality. But friend, that is a selfish way to live. God's business ought to be my business. What is your location? Where is your location within the local church? What does God want you to do to get busy for His honor and His glory? You don't have to be a great speaker in front of people. Sometimes it's the small things behind the scenes. I think about Greg and Sherry. They would have a list up. Tell us what items need to be there for the bathrooms and other items, and they were sure to go get those items. Seemingly insignificant, but yet still necessary. To be in a position of, there's much to glory in when you're commissioned in the service of the Lord. And the cause for triumph, as we'll find, that hard work must be maintained, but friend, there's fruit. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes it's an unthanked job. It's a behind-the-scenes job, and I'm just speaking specifically on the Hammonds tonight because they're leaving us, but there are others within this church, and they do a lot of things that just aren't seen, like doing the books of the church, counting the money after services and other such things that it's not a glamorous job, but it still has to be done. The position of hard work, it comes through a humble mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem other better than ourselves, better than themselves, excuse me. All right, now here's some rules for labor. When it comes to laboring for the Lord, number one, look with me at Matthew chapter 23, particularly verse 5. If you want to read the entire context, I won't read the entire context for the sake of time this evening, but if you would like to, it's Matthew 23, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Jesus is speaking about the marks of a Pharisee. What I'm doing, I'm not doing necessarily. Now, in a pastor's position, in a leadership position, is it seen? It tends to be seen more publicly because it's a public service. But it doesn't mean that a service such as just cleaning the church or other items in the church are any less important. They're just different. Every person is important in what they do. And Jesus again reiterates that our labors or financial gifts are not for men. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, Matthew 6, 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. They may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So if a person gives their tithes or financial gifts to the church, or they're doing other things for the church, hey, look at me, look what I did. Look at how much I gave. You have your reward if somebody gives you praise now. You see, God knows your heart when you're laboring for him. Luke 16, 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Think about this. When I'm trying to be seen of men, God calls that an abomination. That's some pretty, pretty strong language there. I'm not seeking honor from others. It is nice to be thanked, and it is nice to receive honor. And I'm not to seek honor to put myself into honor. It's others that would honor the works that you've done and that I've done. In John 5, 44 through 47, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Our society is driven by public accolades. What I mean by that is the rewards, plaques, notions of, you know, how great you are. Look at my wall. You know, it's full of all these things I've done. In the military, you have all the little ribbons that you get, and you do all these wonderful things for the military. And if you don't have so many ribbons by a certain time in the military, you don't make rank. And there's a lot of stuff. But you're always trying to be seen of men, puffing yourself up. There's a lot of self-promotion, scratching each other's backs to promote and applaud one another. I'd like you to look with me at John chapter 7, verse 18. John chapter 7, verse 18. John 7, verse 18, it reads, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. My aim is either myself or Christ. And the glory that I am seeking is either God's or my own. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 7, when it's said about commendations, for better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. So you come to a big banquet table, and you sit right next to the head table, the head chair. And a servant comes up to you and said, I apologize, this is so-and-so's seat, I want you to sit down here. That deflates the ego because you've just been put in a lower position than what you thought you deserve. Everyone loves to be thanked for their labor, and especially one day before Christ, and that's to be our ultimate aim. The dear Phoebe, as we go back to our opening passage of Scripture, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. She's a sweet lady. Church at Rome, please help her. She wasn't looking for the applause of others. But it is good to look out for one another. Life is hard. It can be very challenging. God has placed the local church as a place of retreat and help. It is not only for the weary traveler, it is also for those who are other believers. And there is to be a commitment to God's house. We are to value it, love it, and serve in it. And should the day a member comes to move to another location, as God leads and guides in their lives. They should have such a testimony wherein they could be commended for their hard work and love of Christ and His people. Phoebe was such a person. Laziness for the things of Christ ought not to be the testimony of a believer or follower of Christ. And the challenge this evening, final verse this evening, turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 42. John chapter 12, verse 42. John 12, 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." The Pharisees had their rules, and they'd kick people out if they didn't follow their rules. And sometimes people would say, "I'm not a Christian," or they wouldn't stand up for what is right because they would love the praise of man more than the glory of God. Phoebe was such a lady that she just served. "You know what, I'm just going to serve God till the day I die. I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to be a hard worker. I'm going to do what God wants me to do." Just because you work hard in the church doesn't mean you necessarily have right motives. But Phoebe was a woman, a lady. I don't know if she's a young lady or whatever age she's at, but she was a lady that just got busy for God. She's a behind-the-scenes worker that helped the church work. The challenge for you is, will you be a servant or will you require to be served? Only a servant is valuable to the Lord. If you love Christ, then serve Christ through His body, the local church. And as I think about several things, and I think about everyone that's done things for the church and helped out from time to time, and but there are those that help sporadically, and then there are those that help faithfully. And Phoebe was such a person. And she was a tremendous blessing. Friend, God wants to use you. God wants to use you through His local church. But it comes down to a decision of the will. Am I willing to put what God commends? Am I willing to put what God makes a place of prominence and a place of importance, something important in my life where I want to get involved and start serving Christ? God wants to use you. Every one of you are important. Every one of you God can use in mighty ways. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. Sometimes it's just a behind-the-scenes thing. But you're important. And tonight, as I draw this to a close, I just want to challenge your heart. If you were going somewhere else, could you receive a commendation for your efforts and labors in the church? Your faithfulness. If you were to move, should God decide to move you, could you be commended for your labors for Christ? Could the leadership write a commendation for what a blessing and help you've been? I'm not saying you're trying to burn yourself out. I'm just saying you've done what you could as God put on your heart to do. With all heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, if I could have Miss Pat come forward and we'll have a time of invitation. I just want to challenge you on that, and after we're done with invitation, we'll proceed with other events. But I just want to put on your heart, do you have the testimony? Should God move you, or even should we be elevated into glory that you could be commended for your efforts? Should a eulogy be given to you at your funeral? My, they were helpful to the church. I don't know what the position is for you this evening, but between you and the Lord as the music plays, I trust you do business with God. First question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You can't do much for Christ until you know Christ. You must be born again. You must have accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And I trust that you've done that. And if you have, may you get busy for God's service. First thing God wants to do after salvation is get baptized and start serving Him through the local church. Friend, God's got His plans. Are you willing to follow Him?